This is KVNF's regional newscast for Tuesday, June 8th, 2021. I'm Gavin Dahl. Blogger Joanne Kalinak of the nonprofit Delta County Citizens Report filed a notice of intent to sue the Delta County Board of Education for open meeting and open record violations. The complaint was sent yesterday to School District Attorney David Skarka, Superintendent Karen Gibson, and all five board members, outlining several open meeting violations during the regular session of the school board on May 20th. Board members voted unanimously not to support comprehensive human sexuality education in the district. In a press release, attorney Chris Macholski describes detailed instances where the school board violated open meeting law concerning full and timely public notice, including adequate executive and regular session agenda descriptions, open public access to all meetings, and the conducting of business in full public view. The school board now has 2 weeks to answer the complaint before the nonprofit Delta County Citizen Report files legal action. Montrose City Council last week chose Anthony Russo to fill their vacant seat. The Montrose Press reports Russo was appointed on a vote of 3-1. He replaces Dave Bowman, who resigned May 3rd, to focus on the summer concert series he produces. The seat will be back on the ballot in the 2022 general municipal election. Russo is the second council member appointed to fill a vacancy in recent months. Like many towns in western Colorado, Ouray has a housing shortage. In a social media post, the Ouray Brewery issued a terse statement that due to the proliferation of second homes and vacation rentals by owners and a directly related extreme shortage of long-term rentals for employees, the Ouray Brewery will close at 7:30 every night due to staffing issues. More than 100,000 honeybees are now in residence at hives near the Ridgeway Community Garden. The Telluride Daily Planet reports Ridgeway local Angela Haas had the idea to start a new community apiary, and since arriving last month, supplied by hive master Fred Boyle, the bees have garnered a group of enthusiastic followers on Facebook. The Ridgeway Community Apiary Group hopes to raise awareness of the importance of pollinators. About 500 people remain hospitalized in Colorado with COVID-19, even though the pandemic seems to be receding. Health officials say at least 95% of those patients are unvaccinated. The Colorado Sun reports Hispanic and Black residents continue to be hospitalized at disproportionately high rates, according to state health officials. Underlying obstacles, including housing and employment issues, access to transportation, language barriers, and immigration status, continue to keep some from getting vaccinated. Health officials note that counties with the highest vaccination rates are seeing the lowest spread of the virus. The two state panels charged with redrawing congressional and legislative district lines are now taking public comments on how those boundaries should look. Each 12-member commission is made up of 4 Democrats, 4 Republicans, and 4 unaffiliated voters. They plan to complete their work after the state receives final data from the Census Bureau, which is expected to happen sometime in August. Under Amendments Y and Z approved by Colorado voters, lines are drawn so that equal numbers of residents live in each district with fair minority representation, maintaining communities of interest and existing political boundaries, such as cities and counties, that will net competitive districts. You can learn more and submit comments at redistricting.colorado.gov. And the Utah Division of Wildlife and Natural Resources announced they're doubling the fish limit for trout and bass this year due to drought. Across the state, inflows are expected to be far below average, and the state's reservoirs are only about 2/3 full. The Salt Lake Tribune reports the combination of high temperatures and low oxygen could lead to mass die-offs of fish, and they're offering them to anglers instead. New rules are in effect through the end of October. Many communities across the Mountain West were once known as sundown towns. Those are places that used to have policies forcing people of color to leave town by nightfall. If they didn't, they could be arrested or worse. One town in Nevada is grappling with its racist legacy. The Mountain West News Bureau's Paul Boger reports.
In Minden, Nevada, people mill about a downtown farmer's market on a warm spring evening. The town of 3,000 is nestled against the eastern Sierra Nevada, and the sun is starting to dip behind the mountains. And at 6 p.m. every day, right on cue, there's this sound. The deafening siren blares across the Carson Valley. For some people here, it's a reminder of the area's racial past.
When I'm working and the doors open and I hear it, it's always kind of, for me, just a moment of silence of what used to happen back in the day.
That's Tracy Kaiser, a salon owner, mother of 4, and a lifelong resident of the Carson Valley. She's also a citizen of the Washoe tribe, the native people who were first here. In 1908, Douglas County enacted an ordinance that required all Indians to leave town by 6:30 p.m. Some say that's why the siren blared at 6, to tell natives to get out. Kaiser says it's a daily reminder of the injustice her family has had to endure.
You don't know how much this really affects our community. It isn't just what our ancestors went through. It's the pain and the hate that was formed to bringing that into a law.
Historians estimate there were once as many as 10,000 sundown towns across the country. Most towns and counties in the Mountain West implemented their sundown ordinances around the turn of the century. But here's the thing. Town officials say the siren had no connection with the racist ordinance of the past.
It was never the intent of the siren, and it was never tied to any ordinance that required sundowner town.
That was J.D. Frisbee, Minden's town manager. He says the siren was always connected to the town's volunteer fire department.
They set it off to go at noon and 6 every day for insurance reasons and for maintenance purposes. And it just so happened to be within a close proximity of the sundowner ordinance of 6:30 that I guess psychologically people tied the two together.
Some people in town buy that. Others don't. But either way, the siren is now associated with the sundown ordinance. State lawmakers recently stepped in. They passed a measure banning the siren from sounding at 6 p.m. The law doesn't say a word about blaring the siren at any other time, meaning Minden can continue to sound the siren at noon. But that idea has the community split. Back at the farmers market, Liz Hastings says the siren should stop altogether because it's giving the town a bad name.
It doesn't evoke anything positive or unifying for the community. I feel like it's embarrassing. I feel like it shouldn't be happening.
Others, though, want Minden to defy lawmakers, like 27-year-old Logan Peterson, who has lived here all his life.
I'm sorry that the noise offends them, but that's not by any means what it is today. It's a tradition. Most traditions have historical backgrounds.
But for Tracy Kaiser and other tribal members, if the siren went off at a different time, that would be fine.
You need that tradition so bad, change it to 5 or 7. Turn it off at 6.
Blaring the siren at 6 is just too close to the historical 6:30 curfew that forced natives like her out for the night. For the Mount West News Bureau, I'm Paul Boger in Minden, Nevada.
Mountain West News Bureau will feature more stories about sundown towns in our region in an upcoming special series. Stay tuned this summer. You can check out all of our archives at kvnf.org. And if you have any feedback, tips, or comments, please email news@kvnf.org. We'll get back to you right away. That does it for Tuesday's KVNF Regional Newscast. Special thanks to Kate Redmond. I'm Gavin Dahl.